Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana.
It is. It's been a while. I've missed you.
Yes, I've missed you too. Let's take the curtain back four seconds into the podcast. We taped a bunch to get through the new year. So this is like our official
fresh start.
Yes. New podcast. The last episode. Let's get right into it. I'm not even gonna ask you to rate and review and subscribe. Ask you to tag a bitch on Instagram stories. I'm not gonna do that. Because you already know. Tell a friend. Maybe tag a bitch.
Maybe tell two. Who knows?
Two. I don't care.
Sure.
Last episode was people were touched.
I know.
By your story of the, I guess we should call it an epic. It's like Homer the Odyssey.
Epic, the epic on and off again
thing.
Yeah.
And I got a little taste of it. I got some DMs being like, you know, telling me like, wow, that last episode really connected me. I was really connected with it. You must have gotten.
I got more DMs after that episode than I've ever gotten after any episode that we've done so far.
It's crazy.
And for me, it was like, I mean, right after we did the episode, Brené Brown, who writes about vulnerability. She has this thing that's called like, she goes, sometimes when you're like, kind of like tell a story that you're like a little worried about telling, you get like a vulnerability hangover. So I'm like,
so that's actually, I've never heard of that, but that's very true. Like I don't shut the fuck up, as people know who listens to this show. And so I do go on a lot of other podcasts and I do get asked a lot of questions, and I do afterwards. When I come on this show or I come on, do my own or whatever it is, I always spew. Yeah. And then afterwards I go, all right, what are the consequences of that spewage? You know, I have that moment where I'm like, I get a little nervous. I mean, to review, though, for the listeners who haven't listened yet, Jordana had a guy that she's been on and off again for 10 years.
It has been 10 years. I haven't, like, it hasn't really been on and off. I've had a boyfriend for like 2.5 years. So up until before that.
But he's been hovering around your life for a long time.
Yes.
And then it kind of culminated with this. Him showing up to the Vancouver show and then texting afterwards, and we talked it out.
Right.
But you got very, you know, very personal.
Yeah, it was a very personal story for me. It's something that I've always had like a little bit of like a shame about, I think, in the back of my head. I've always been like, this is like a really pathetic thing about me. In my head, I'm, you know what I mean? I remember meeting my boyfriend. Eventually you have those talks about like past relationships and things like that, and like, what, you know, what was your last relationship, what was your longest relationship, and I remember kind of feeling like ashamed to tell him that I was like, I hadn't been in a relationship in a long time, but I had had like this like kind of meaningful thing to me that he was like never my boyfriend. And I was like, ugh, I'm gonna sound like, telling the story about this guy is gonna make me sound like pathetic, right? And I was always like very worried about that. And it was the great thing about telling that story was great to get so many DMs from people who were like, I'm in a similar thing. And like, this inspired me to send that text or do that thing or cut it off or do that thing. And because it can make you feel, when there's no label on it, it can make you feel just like even just talking about it, you just seem like very pathetic.
You can sound delusional.
Right,
you
delusional,
can feel delusional.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember like telling my friends every time I would like go back to it, and they'd be like, oh, again, like, you know, like there's a sense of, and it is a really, it's a hard thing to get out of. And it's not like, it's, and I think the important thing for anyone who is in that kind of like sort of toxic on again, off again thing to remember is that like getting out of it isn't necessarily like a linear thing. Like I talked about how I like went to a therapist and I was like, I really like, I don't want to do this anymore, but I just feel like I can't stop. And during the course of that, like over the course of a couple of years, like seeing him, like I did stop, but there was, But there were times within that period of time when I went back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like I've decided I'm no longer doing it. I sent the text and I'm done. It was like, I like sent like a pseudo text like that, like several times.
Yeah. And it's, you know what was interesting also about that is like, it's a personal thing.
Right.
Like your thing, you know, the guy in the situation when you're telling the story, like, to me, I'm like, I get what he's doing, but I get what he doesn't get. I get what he's ignoring.
Right.
You know, but I also like a lot of it's just an interesting thing of like, you know, you went to a lot of through a lot of different, you know, like I'm not trying to speak carefully, but I'm saying you went like you go to therapy to talk this out. His side of things is totally different. His personal reasons for doing it is totally different.
Totally like, different.
The way he connects to your relationship is totally different. But communicating how it affects you is, you know, ended up being the thing to like kind of try and end the cycle.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the most important lesson I think that I got from it. Because even though, again, he did apologize, it didn't come with an explanation.
Yeah.
Right. It didn't really say I'm sorry. I did. And to me, that's really the only apology that matters. The apology that's like, I'm so sorry I did this. Here's why I did this. Even if it doesn't really matter, it gives you a sense of like, OK, I sort of understand why this happened a little bit more. But he didn't give that to me, which is fine. But like, I think and in speaking to my therapist about that, he was like, yeah, you're probably never really going to know that. He probably can't articulate that. The bigger question, I think, for you that you can look into and you can answer yourself is like, why did you stay for so long? That's really the question.
You can only drive your own bus.
Right.
You know, and again, that guy on the other side, he might not have an explanation that he can really articulate either.
Yeah.
He might, you know who might be able to explain it to you? His therapist. You know, and he doesn't go to a therapist. So.
He actually told me at one point that he did. So
okay.
Maybe he does.
So
who knows?
That would be, you know, but I think a lot of women out there who listen to this show, first of all, hearing that you're going through the, you know, taking away the shame from it, understanding that there's a lot of people in this situation, understanding that like, you're not going to get the explanation. It's not going to be tied up with a bow.
Right.
You know?
And it's not like a clean rom-com ending of like, this is the person just tells you exactly like why they did the thing and it makes perfect sense. Like life doesn't really work like that.
No. Well, did we ever talk about the movie The Breakup on here?
I think we've touched on it. I don't think we've really talked about
it. Well, I know that The Breakup, I'm like 90% sure they filmed The Breakup and it ended with them broken up and test screenings were like, no, we fucking hate this movie.
Yes, it did end with them breaking up.
Well, then they added a scene because the test groups were like, wait a minute, I need some redemption.
I need something,
This is too real.
I need closure on this other relationship, let alone your own.
So they added that scene of them seeing each other at the baseball game at the end. So if you go watch The Breakup, you'll see there's a real ending that leaves you going, oh, I guess that's it. That's the normal ending.
Well, the normal ending is she's just like, this is too little, too late. Like, I can't.
But the normal ending is no explanation.
Right.
No neatness.
That's real.
Fake ending is, hey, we see each other at the baseball game and we look at each other kind of like we want to fuck still. You know, like that's the, you know, so.
She's like, you look good.
Oh, you're looking good. And then they walk away and they look back once and then the audience gets to go, they made it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, no. 9 out of 10 don't work out. The 10th one ends in divorce 50% of the time.
And it's those endings that like kind of make us, I think, in a lot of ways, hang on to things that don't work. But it also made me think about like, we talk about defining the relationship a lot here, right? And I think you're always like, if you're having fun and you're getting everything you need, like you shouldn't need the label, right?
Sure. Well, I've you know, someone DM'd me about this, and that's not an invitation for everyone to DM me their problems. I do a Patreon. You can do that. I have changed. This podcast has made me reevaluate my thoughts
on
it. But what were you going to say?
But I'm thinking like what I'm saying about like the why you need that label thing. I think for the longest time, also in this thing that I had with this guy, I would always feel like because he was never like really officially my boyfriend, I didn't have like a right to be like so upset or expect things or like because he had never gone there. So like for me, I think going forward after that, the labels they're important just in the sense that they give a public meaning.
Well,
they give a public meaning to whatever you're doing.
But this is also the reevaluation of how I'm thinking about it, because I do I understand the value of having the name on it, okay, because of personal, but because of what you're saying right now. But I also, my point when I'm like, just have fun, it's like, well, have fun the way you want to. Like, there was many times during this, you know, epic with this guy that you could have said, well, this week I'd like to go for dinner. You had a right to ask for dinner.
Right.
You know, and if he said no or didn't make that happen, then you can go, well, what are we doing? If you won't do dinner,
yeah, no, like, I agree. That was on me as well.
But that's kind of like my reevaluation of like what the label is when I'm saying like have the conversation. Like, I don't believe in having the conversation unless you know what you want that isn't happening now.
Yeah. So, and it's about having the power to articulate it.
Of course. So, yeah. And all of this is hard. Listen, this podcast exists because all of these conversations are difficult. We're not going to stop them from being difficult. Easy advice to give. Easy for us to fucking shoot out of our ass what you think you should do. Harder for you to go and do
that. Go and do it. 100%. And like, again, like, you always, there's always a thing where you know what you're supposed to do. It's very, very difficult to put in action. I'm the perfect example of that. And like, again, like, getting out of something bad is not like one day you decide you're going to no longer take it. It's very much like an up and down process, just like anything else is.
Good and bad days. Yeah. What's going on here at Betches before we get to the show?
So, guys, we got a lot going on here at Betches. Make sure you check out our brand new travel Instagram account at Betches Travel.
Ooh, Tulum.
Exactly. You get to find out all the betchiest places to go in Tulum. We're rebranding the Betch Lab podcast. We relaunched the show as At Betches. Each week the podcast will feature a rotation of Betches personalities, including some of your favorite people.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
I like that. You know why?
Maybe Jared will be on one time.
I would love to be rotated into the At Betches show because I've noticed that when we did all the live You Up shows, we'd have a few of the people that work here come along with us and help out with some of the you know, odds and ends.
People recognize them.
They were recognized. They're like, you're the person from the Instagram. They're the person. And it was kind of cool to see, like, you know, Kay York and, you know, and Taylor, and like everyone kind of
are like excited. Hey,
look at you, you know. And so I think this is a great idea.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going to talk about pop. That's a pop culture podcast. Search the @ Betches to subscribe now.
It's also, there's a hotbed of personalities in this office right now.
Yes.
There's like a, and all different. And every time I walk in here, I'm like, this is like, you know, you walk into the sorority house. It's an adult sorority house.
Everyone's got their own little thing. It's awesome. And the Bachelor podcast, The Bachelor is back. So the Bachelor podcast is back with weekly recaps of the brand new season of The Bachelor. If you don't watch Jared Fried's story, you are missing out because they are hysterical. I don't even really watch The Bachelor anymore.
Thank you.
But I do watch your stories because they are very funny.
Totes preach. I'm in Bachelor season heavy right now.
Yeah.
It's a big time of year for over at J Train Studios.
and I'm sure you'll do a few guest spots on the Bachelor podcast.
I'll be on the Bachelor.
As well.
I'll be on that podcast, not shutting the fuck up too.
Yeah. And you can join the Bachelor Skinny Pop Fantasy game. Subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Jared, what do you have coming up?
Again, The Bachelor. I do my own Bachelor thing. If you could just touch my posts. That's what I'm just
feel
touch
them.
Feel them. You know, caress the nipple of my posts.
You know what to do.
You know what to do. You know how to make a guy feel good. Also, I did a bunch of shows towards the end of the year, and I just want to thank everyone who like stops after a show at the Cellar, or I was in Springfield and Naples, Florida. I mean, like, it's so cool. People, can I tell before I hope people like hearing this stuff, because just to know that there's people out there just like you listening. The Naples show, after one show, four different moms came up to me and were like, my daughter lives in New York City and sent me to your show.
That's
four
awesome.
Different moms.
Four
and,
different
and they
ones,
were though. Like, we gave a hug, we took a picture. One nana. There was a nana that was like, hi, I'm Sarah. My granddaughter listens, and I don't know what a podcast is, but you are funny. I'm like, oh my God, can you be my nana too?
You were going to be like the hit of the like Jewish mom Floridian
that's,
community.
That's right. Well, this is all to say that anyone, you know, I do stand up. That's my life. That's what I am. If you come to my show, you can bring anyone you'd like. I'm going to make sure to make everyone laugh. And, I'm going to be in Salt Lake City, Utah, and never been before. I've been to Salt Lake once, but it was like I was really young.
What are they going to do with you there?
We're going to find out. I'm like, Salt Lake City, we're white. That is white. Yeah. So I'm going to go in there.
We're white-ish.
Yeah, we're white-ish. You know, so going to Salt Lake City, Utah, and then I'm going to Buffalo. Buffalo, and Salt Lake City, Utah. Those are the two places I'll be at this month. So jaredfried.com. Also, you know, keep telling friends about this podcast.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP.
It doesn't have to be expensive to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury quality items. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. I love what Quince is doing. They're basically taking the expensive label off of the clothing and giving you stuff that's just as good. They have cashmere sweaters, they got jackets, they got everything. I love their socks. Right now, you're pulling socks out of the drawer and you're going, oh, it's that pair again? Get rid of that pair. Treat yourself. Quince. Not just the socks, though. They got everything. 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP.
What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about phone calls before our first date. It's very hotly debated.
The phone call before the first date.
Yeah.
Have you done this? Do you like it? Do you not like it? What's your thoughts?
I've gotten it a couple times when I was dating.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really like it, but...
I didn't like it, but
I think I didn't like it because I had this, like, very kind of, like, standoffish fear of, like, I don't think it's so terrible, but I think you grow up in an age of, like, if it's not the norm, it kind of feels just like... like, you know, when your mom makes you talk to like a relative.
Sure. Yeah. It's a little here.
Can be a little forced.
That's the biggest part.
Right.
The phone call before the date is fine. I've actually had great conversations before a date.
You initiate them?
No. To me, I know enough about myself. So these are all to me, you have to start with what makes you feel good, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're a person out there that's like, I like to hear someone's voice before I go on a date with someone, that's cool. And I always could sense when someone was that way because I know the good rat-tat-tat of a text conversation. Okay. I know the type of rat-tat-tat that I like to hear. My rat-tat-tat is different than your rat-tat-tat is different from the listener's rat-tat-tat.
Right.
So I understand that if we're having a good text conversation, I'm like, this feels good enough for me. Let's do a date. I understand that this is fun and flirty and fun.
Some people need more.
Some people need more, but I do think I've been put in situations where, like a charcuterie board, and I'm going to refer, I've been doing a lot of charcuterie reviews.
Yeah, you must have seen thousands.
I've seen way too many. And what all of my reviews hinge on one thing. It's is your board made to make me think something about you or for me to be full?
Okay.
So this is the
You're
same.
You're looking for real substance.
I'm looking for substance.
Right.
Not for me to be got to get your brand that you're trying to let me know
right.
about. And what I've noticed from the male perspective, from a lot of women that are like, and I'm sure this happens for women too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of you're telling me who you are versus showing me who you are.
Okay.
So it's a lot of times
I think men do that too. Right.
Men do it too in maybe false romanticism to look like they're like an upstanding guy that's not going to ghost you. So they're like, I'm a gentleman who talks on the phone before a date.
Right.
You know, I could see a man doing that bullshit move. Mm-hmm. What women do with the bullshit move is a lot of times they'll force it too much and they'll go, well, I'm a phone call person. I don't do the text thing. I'm not normally on the apps. And it's like, no. You're just trying to tell me the type. It's not, do you understand? Like,
yeah,
I think you have to
phrase it like, hey, I like to do a phone call sometimes before like a date. Would you mind doing that?
Absolutely.
I kind of like.
Hat in hand. You have to understand that this isn't the norm.
Right.
That the other person who's asking you out feels that the rat-tat-tat was good enough.
Yeah.
So if it's good enough for them but not good enough for you, it's okay to say, hey, can we just talk on the phone real quick? Yeah, like the way you said it, the way I said it, like, I just know that a lot of situations it becomes this like religion.
Yeah.
And you're like,
when anything's like that, it's very annoying.
This relates to everything. This is anything could be the phone call, but the phone call is where it becomes, oh, you don't know. I talk on the phone. And it's like, okay, Nana, that thinks you're
you're above
what's going on here. You're on an app where I swiped
you
put you in the won't fuck pile and the will fuck pile.
Yeah.
Okay,
you have to ask them how they feel about it.
Yes.
Well, I'll read the email because I think it sums it up too. Hey, J&J, love the podcast. Share with all my friends. Rate, review, smash that subscribe button. Nice.
This is a dude.
I'm a guy in my mid-20s, mostly meeting women through Hinge, since emotionally fulfilling committed relationships are my kink. My go-to move after a match is to chat.
Ooh, I love when someone hugs me.
Right.
And tells me they want to be my wife. Oh, yeah.
That sounds hot. I like it. My go-to move after a match is to chat for a few days, then ask the girl out for drinks if I feel like we're connecting pretty well over the app.
All right.
Recently, though, one of my matches asked to talk on the phone before we met up. We wound up having a great conversation that got through a lot of first date awkwardness before we even met up. And now I'm feeling really comfortable and excited going into this drink date. Now I'm wondering if I should add this to my standard pre-date tango. Jordana, what would you think if you were having a good conversation on a dating app and the guy asked to do a phone call? We're the SMS generation, so would it make it seem like me seem like a psychopath, or would it be different and attractive? And how do you feel about a pre-first date call in general? Thanks for doing God's work. Phone call curious. Phone call curious.
I love his email. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
It's funny. It's light. He's towing the line, though, of I'm trying to know if this will trick a woman into fucking me.
You think?
He wrote, what do you think if we're having a good conversation on a dating app and the guy asked to do a phone call? We're the SMS generation, so would it make him seem like a psychopath, or would it make me different? Would it be different and attractive?
Okay.
That line to me is like, how do I game the system? So he has to understand what he sounds like.
Right. Okay. I didn't read it like that, but I could see how now rereading it, what you're saying. If it's used to be like, I wouldn't say it like was going to elevate you in the world of dating. I read it like much more naive. I feel like I read all these emails from men so much more naively than you. I'm like,
I'm reading
it
with my
penis.
Get
to know someone, take away some first date awkwardness. I'm like, that sounds lovely.
That's the thing. He starts out lovely and he starts out with like the right attitude. And then he's like, is this making me more hot?
Yeah. I don't think it would make him more or less hot. I think it would entirely depend on how the conversation went.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm just imagining you read these emails, like you're just reading them, and then my penis puts on his readers and reads these emails in a penis way. Right.
Your penis is reading it for
my
you.
My penis is going, let me look into this. Where's he trying to fuck? You know,
get out of the way. My penis needs to hear what he's saying.
I agree. But what he said in the beginning is like the reason you would do the phone call. Like that you're actually looking for someone.
Yeah.
You're actually looking to suss out. Like, I don't want to go on waste of time first dates.
Right.
I can understand.
Or a date that might be very awkward because the person just isn't really like, we're not like vibing.
Sure.
And it is easy. I think it is easier to tell that over a phone call than a text. But it's also kind of like very awkward to talk to someone on the phone that you've never met before. Like, it can be like that too.
Yeah, but
I think the older you are, the more you're kind of like, I'm capable of having a phone conversation.
Listen, if it's, I agree with you, but then I don't like the people, I'm bad on the phone. No, you're bad with people you're not friends with on the phone. You know, like, you're bad with people you don't connect with on the phone. Like, I think a lot of people put that label on themselves to absolve the fact that this might not be the match. And people are really good at avoiding this isn't the match in favor of I'm weird, I'm awkward, he's busy, he's not good at answering the phone. You know, not the match is more the answer than we make it the answer.
Right.
I would say to this person, I actually think this is a great move for those, because here's
what I wouldn't be like, oh, he called me, that's hot. I'd be like, okay, like, I could call, like, assuming the text went, like, I think you need the text initially a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call every guy that I meet on an app on the phone.
I mean, sometimes you get the women that are so pushing on the phone thing that they go, just call me so we can get this out of the way.
Like the it's guy like, okay. who's like, just send the pic.
Yeah,
just send
yeah,
me a
yeah,
pic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not doing that shit. Right. You're walking a tight wire between, again, from the beginning of our conversation, between telling and showing.
Right.
You're walking a tight wire. The phone call might not go. Everyone you talk to doesn't have to be everyone you go on a date with.
I also think it's like hard. Like, if you, the difference between texting and phone calls is that, like, in text, you can really, like, plan out what you're going to say. And a phone call is a little more, like, organic. The person just has to answer. They can't take, like, 5 minutes to come up with, like, a normal, cute sounding response. And, like, sometimes it's going to be weird.
Scripted versus improv.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's two different things. I would say to anyone, here's when the phone call to me makes sense. You ever get in those dating app situations where you go back and forth and have a very like normal, nice enough conversation, and then you get to the end of that conversation and it's like, I guess we go out now?
Right.
You know, like, and it, what sucks about the dating apps is you get to more often than not, you get to, I guess we go out now, like this is the next step. Maybe the next step is a phone call to see if you really want, like, if there is, because we go on, I think a lot of, like, the negative of dating apps is you go on a lot of dates that you just don't want to be on.
Right.
And this got him excited. So maybe the people that are just met over the app, you go, maybe if you're sitting there with no other options, because what happens is when you have no other matches, you chase the meh match.
Right.
So
you're settling for the whatever.
You're settling. Yeah. So you just go on a date that you end up complaining about later at brunch. What I'm saying to the listeners now is like, if you're in that situation, be like, hey, you want to talk on the phone? I'm just like kind of hanging around. Just want to say what's up.
And I think if you phrase it like that, not like, I make sure that I speak to all my dates before I go out with them. I think you could take it on a case by case basis. I don't think you're like,
totally.
It needs to be like every person I go out with, I need to speak on the phone. And also, like, I don't really think anything can replace the in-person. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to realize that in dating, you're going to go on bad dates. There's no real way or like trick to avoid that. Calling someone on the phone isn't going to really like 100% avoid that. Texting them, seeing a picture of them, whatever. I do feel like for me at least, I could always tell in the first 5 minutes of sitting down across from someone whether or not this was going to be like a thing or not. And like, there was no way around that.
No,
really.
There isn't. But I think a phone call can help.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And if it makes you feel more comfortable or more excited, I think that's really the goal.
It's like putting butter on dry toast. You're like, oh, this toast did need a little butter.
Yeah.
You know? Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it. You want to read it?
You can send in your awkward sex. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Send in everything you'd like. Hey, J&J. I listen and re-listen to your episodes constantly, so safe to say I love you guys. Also, have put everyone I know onto the podcast. Thank you.
Nice.
So I had been dating this guy for about 6 weeks, and I decided to take him to my parents' cottage for a weekend away. Dating 6 weeks, took him to my parents' cottage for a weekend away.
That sounds nice.
It was pretty cute, and we were making dinner together and having a good time. We started having sex in the middle of the kitchen because why not? Ooh, love it. I can smell the cedar. All of a sudden, it felt like someone had set me on fire down there. I tried to ignore it, but it was getting worse by the second. Almost simultaneously, we both realized we had been cutting jalapenos immediately prior to the sexual escapade. Sheer panic ensues. I ran to the bathtub and laid under the cold tap, legs in the air in a V-shape.
Oh, my God.
And he runs in, starts pouring milk on my vagina.
Like a carton.
Here comes the milk patrol. This is like a porno, but not. You know?
Does that actually help?
I guess they maybe say it does. Milk helps. Yeah. It isn't helping, and he can't tell.
I guess not.
You can tell I'm still in pain. So I'm watching him look around the bathroom for a plan. His face lights up. He pours milk in the glass, grabs a tampon, oh, dips the tampon in milk. He then makes direct eye contact with me and semi-yells, shove it in.
Shove it in!
To be fair, this helped, and we immediately burst into giggles. Me naked, covered in milk, and with a milk tampon inside of me, and him pointing and laughing. Also would like to speculate why his penis was seemingly unaffected. Well, it's an innie versus an outie, right?
Wait, she's saying his penis is unaffected by what?
The jalapeno.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Inside.
Does it
the
get
penis.
Like, no, there's no like internal, like what if it went like on the urine hole?
If it got in the hole,
then that would be bad.
That would be, like kill me. But the penis is no different than your hand.
Right.
That's
why
I like
fair.
The whole like, okay. Wash your hands after you pee. I'm like, I'm not saying.
I have a feeling you're going to get a lot of DMs about that one.
I'm saying people are like, you got to wash your hands after you pee, but. I touched my penis. That's the same as touching my shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I didn't get any pee on me, who's, you know, what's the difference?
That's so funny. Okay.
That's all
sure.
I'm saying.
All right. I don't know if we're still, I am not encouraging men to not.
I'm not encouraging. I'm just saying okay. That let's not have the shame revolving around people not washing yes. their hands. If I touch my shoulder and not, if I touch my ear and none of my ear juice got on my ear, I wouldn't wash okay. my hands.
All right. I'm not standing behind this movement.
You don't stand it?
Yes.
Why his penis seemingly was unaffected. We dated for a couple months after that, but it was always a fun story. Hope this gave you guys a laugh. Curious what you would call this.
So she called it the Milky Way, which is
oh,
funny.
The Milky Way is good. A river runs through it. That's what I funny. Kept thinking when she was with her with legs the, up.
Lactose tolerant.
Lactose tolerance, really good. A tampon terror.
I like that.
Fire crotch, but we've had that before.
Yeah, we've had the jalapeno thing is clearly a thing. Always wash your hands, like, sure. Or make sure a guy
well,
washes
even if
his
you,
hands.
Even if you wash your hands, I've handled jalapeno yeah. before,
you and put in my, if you're putting your eye, and I touch my eye. Very
it's like a half a day thing.
Yeah,
like,
and you're just like, oh, am I gonna lose this eye? But you're fine.
I mean, my God.
I think this is like a green flag for this guy, though. Like, this guy, like, really, like, he took action. You
this
know what
may,
I mean?
You know,
I think this is, like, hot.
In a world, yeah, you're right. Yeah. In a world where there's fewer and fewer ways to prove yourself a man, having the MacGyver, having the ingenuity to dip a tampon in milk and look at her in the eye and go, shove
now,
it in.
Right. No like questions asked.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what if she was like now it's like, shove it yeah. in. She's like, give me your penis. I'm blowing you while I do this.
I think this is the most chivalrous thing I've read in a long time. I have to say.
Yeah, it is.
Because
chivalry
like,
is not
like,
dead.
It's also like it shows he has like empathy. Like he's not feeling it, but he's totally. Like, oh, this person that I'm with is like
in pain. Well, I need to help them immediately. This would be a partner I'd want for life.
Yeah, for a baby especially.
Right? Like, your baby's
helping with your vagina.
Baby's in danger. He'd be the one to just like jump right
in.
Yeah,
he'd shove a tampon full of milk into that baby's mouth and get it fed.
Yeah, he'd save the whole house from a burning fire. You'd be like running right back in. I'm very into this guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what the female like equivalent, like if you switch the genders. Like, what if, like, I guess she would, like, if I had jalapeno dust in my penis.
Okay.
If she, if she took a glass of milk and, like, dipped my penis in it.
She was like, put it in.
Put it in. Yeah, yeah. That would be the, and I would just, like, sit there with my dick and milk. Just sitting
like
there.
Like a cat eating.
I mean, this shows the different, the male and female body, just like me explaining how easy mine is versus the female experience of like,
I mean, it's
getting
also
under
very
the faucet.
Smart. Like that's a great way to do it. That's how you would get it to stay. Because otherwise it would just probably just like splash off.
I'm trying to imagine a vagina with the water running into it like that. It's just such a different look.
The hole, I feel like it would splat. It wouldn't really get in. Like, he was correct. Like, it might, like a little bit of it. This is a way to get it like all, he's like soaking something
surrounding the whole area. Like, I saw there was a, there was an Instagram targeted ad for this like little jelly thing that you roll around your car to like clean your car. Basically, the whole ad was like, it's really hard to get into the cup holders and get all the junk out of your cup holder. So they have this like this amorphous bag that you put in and it sticks in there and it gets in all the little crevices.
That's like the tampon.
The tampon. That's the same thing.
Yeah. I also like that this guy like knows enough about the female anatomy that he's like, oh, this like could work.
Yeah,
like, I always find it annoying when guys are like, gross, tampons, blood.
Does that happen? Is that a thing?
I think there's guys who are like, especially like guys not raised around either like open mothers or guys who don't have sisters, who are just kind of like, that whole world to them is like such a mystery. It seems like kind of scary and they're always like hesitant to like go near it. And they are like grossed out on some level about it. Not necessarily because like it's their fault. I just think they don't know anything. And I always find that to be like kind of immature and annoying. This guy seems like, not only does he like aware of like what a tampon does, but like way interesting ways that he could use it to his advantage.
Sometimes it feels like as a guy that women hold the immaturity of one guy they met once to, I mean, this is the same way of saying not all men, which is annoying. I understand that. But they'll take like a guy saying, ew, like a 22-year-old guy saying ew to a tampon.
As a marker for the rest of men.
Dude, you guys are grossed out by tampon. And I'm like, I'll hold it and I'll fucking put it in my ass before you throw it away. I don't give a fuck.
How many girls saying, ew, that's your penis, would it take for you to have a complex about that?
Fair.
Right?
If I got... every girl at 22 said once, ew to a penis.
Right.
I guess I,
yeah, you might like think
point
like,
made.
You might have like an internal fear in the back of your head that someone else might say that to you.
You're right.
You know.
No, I take it all back. I learned something today. Yeah. I guess not ever having, that's my privilege. That's my male privilege.
Right.
Just never, like women are just like, yeah, that's a penis. They never have that hump to get over of like.
A fear of the penis.
Yeah, but there's no blood spewing from our penis.
Hopefully.
I mean, spewing might not be the word that
there's other stuff that comes out of it that's, you know, if you've never seen
delicious
it before,
cum.
That you've never seen before, it might be kind of scary.
Yeah. I can understand
you know
that.
What I mean?
Like, well, if a girl,
if early on in your sexual experience, someone was like, you might be like, oh, girls don't like this.
Yeah.
And like, whatever.
Then we'll have some pineapple juice and it tastes like vanilla.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Let's do some emails. UUP@betches.com.
All right. We got another email. We're getting a lot more emails from guys, which I like because it shows that men are...
I think the live shows, you know, helped us out with our dude following, because I think they came and like a girl that they're dating or a woman that like their fiance, whatever, was like, this is what it is.
And they get it now.
And then they're like, oh, okay. This is...
Oh.
That's what a tampon is.
I was about to say that. That's very funny. Hey, J&J, love the podcast, and I've been introducing all of my guy and girlfriends to it. You two make dating in your 20s so relatable and fun. I'll cut to the chase. I'm a guy who's been single for a bit over a year and recently met someone at a friend's wedding that I've been stoked about. Bridesmaid, totally cliche.
Love it, love it, love it. Love everything about this meeting.
Yeah, bearing meeting, into it.
Groomsmen, bridesmaid.
Best way to meet someone. Casual, fun.
Casual. It's a great way to meet someone.
We instantly hit it off and have been talking nonstop for the past month, regularly going on dates and sleeping at each other's apartments. It's been very couple-y and I've pretty much lost all desire to see other people. But we have not had the exclusive talk yet. Tonight I was out with a few friends and they were asking about the new girl, and it was eventually brought up that she was a friend of a friend's college ex.
Sometimes I have trouble. A friend of a friend's college ex. Okay.
Okay, so it's his friend's college ex's friend.
No. His friend's friend of a friend's.
One of his friends had an ex from college.
Yes.
And she's her friend.
Okay.
We went to college together but never met. I had already known about this but didn't know how they ended. Apparently they'd been dating on and off for three plus years, and it ended in flames when she slept with someone else. To make matters worse, the guy she slept with is the same guy my college ex cheated on me with.
I don't know if he wrote this right.
So what I'm thinking he's saying is like this girl that he's been seeing that he really likes.
Oh.
And was in college with his friend and like used to date his friend and cheated on his friend.
Oh, okay. Hold on. So the girl he's seeing is the ex of his friend's friend.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Because, and then the way they ended is via her cheating on him.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So it's the same girl in college, she cheated on him.
Okay.
And now he's seeing her. So naturally, I'm feeling extra uncomfortable about this. So the guy she cheated on him with is the same guy that his college ex cheated on him with.
What a small.
Very small world.
What a small world where they've all exchanged fluids.
Yes. That's what happens when you hang out with people from college for too long. I understand that people make mistakes and that one act doesn't define a person's character, and I really don't even know the full circumstances and if what happened between them qualifies as cheating. But I know that this is going to bother me, especially since I can relate to the other guy so much. My question to you two is it valid for me to ask about this, even though we haven't had the exclusive talk? If so, how do I go about bringing this up to hear her side of things? I really do want to give her the benefit of the doubt and hear her side without projecting my previous experience onto it. Thanks for any and all advice. Sincerely, Anxious AF. I think the more general question here, that's like the more relatable question, is like if you hear about a negative story about someone that you're seeing,
yeah,
like are you in from their past, are you entitled to like really bring that up?
I don't think you are.
You don't think he can say anything?
Initially, that's my first thought. I mean,
even if it's gonna bother him,
this isn't she slept with his best friend 10 years ago. To me, that's different. Like, if she had slept with his best friend, she wasn't sexually involved with, like, anyone he's really friends with. Interesting to me that, like, as a guy, you do wonder about, like, we talked about this unfairly.
Right. They slept with someone
that they have a personal relationship. Right, yeah. I know them. To me, that's different than this. You're saying you heard that she cheated once. You wouldn't know that information if you weren't by chance. You know, like, this is information that was brought to you. And I don't believe in judging your emotions based off of the thought of the other person's emotions you're dealing with.
Right.
So, like, he, in the beginning of his email, we met at a wedding. It's going great. I want to be exclusive with her. That you should do.
Right, but is it almost unfair that he now knows this thing about her and isn't sharing it with her and thinking about it? Like, isn't that almost going to bother her more than if he just asked her like about it? Like, say I met this friend, they happened to mention you or this story about you. Like, I think you could say like, I was with my friends, I mentioned that we were seeing each other. Someone actually wound up knowing you like from this time back, way back when, like. They were talking about like some breakup you had. Like, I know it's not really any of my business, especially like at this point, but like, you definitely don't have to tell me, but like, I was wondering what happened there.
See, I hear what you're saying.
And then at least she's like, not like, I think it's almost worse to be like, oh, the guy, I'm seeing this guy who like thinks he knows all this stuff about me and he actually doesn't. He's just assuming and he never says anything to me.
Sure. It's a tough situation. I don't think it's right for him to be like, so I heard you cheated, I need an explanation about the cheating.
Right, well, that's definitely not right.
Yeah, I do think it's okay to say, I was with this friend, and that guy's... I mean, I don't know, as I say this, maybe it's not okay. Like,
I was with this friend who, if things go well, you'll definitely meet, who hates you.
Yeah, this guy hates you. You fucking fucked him over. I don't think it's fair to relate her cheating in college to your personal experience with her. That's because part of this email is asking that, where it's like, hey, you know, like his trust level. Like, I do think it sucks to hear something that you're like, now I'm burdened with this information and I need to let them know that I know this information, because if it does come up a year from now and now it's like he hid that these people were talking about her. Like, I come up that way too.
If I were the girl, I feel like I'd want the chance to like tell my side of the story instead of like letting him think about all these things that like might not be true, or things that he heard, or things that are from one person's side of the story.
This is kind of my point, is like, I think it's okay to bring up without the accusation of, I heard you're a cheater.
Right.
You know, and that's a very difficult thing to do. To be like, hey, I heard this story. What happened with so-and-so? You don't deserve to hear what happened with so-and-so, but you also put yourself in a position to see the person's reaction to you asking that question.
Right.
Because, so, that's the problem. Is like, it's not right now in presenting, like, the best way this goes is you go, hey, I heard, I was with a bunch of people the other night. I saw your ex, and he was talking about how you guys ended.
Right.
And you go, what happened? And asking what happened in a, I just want to know, like, this is just an interesting conversation with the girl that I'm seeing. That could lead you down a road where you hear how she answers it and it's not someone you really match up with.
Right,
which it could change the match is what a, you know, and that's something you have to be okay with.
Yeah,
too.
Which is also okay if like that's something that's really gonna bother. It's also, I think, less about what she did and more about how she feels about it now.
Mm.
You could say like, yeah, I mean, she could say, yeah, that happened back then. I kind of like really fucked up and I felt pretty bad about that. You know, that taught me that like I would never do that again.
Yeah, because he's already saying the thing he's doing right now that isn't fair is he's going, I know what it's like.
Right.
You know, was cheated on too. Now you're in the cheaters group.
Right.
You're in the cheated on group and no one can understand your pain. Well, there's the cheater group too that has some pain too.
Right. I agree with that. There's people who like do messed up things, especially in college, that they later regret. And I think totally. That like we can't pretend that's, I think if everyone were held to the be like the same person that they were in college, we would all be considered way worse people.
Well, this is kind of the reality. This is a very 2020, 2019 issue.
Right. Well,
you know, people are getting caught for tweets that
canceled.
They did.
Yeah.
Canceled for tweets they did in high school. And it's like, you know, I don't believe in that.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. I think it's more about, again, I think it's more about the way you feel about what you were saying back then or
sure.
the way you feel about what you were doing back then.
And what have you done since?
Right.
Have you been that person till yesterday? Or have you been that person, you know, were you that person for a month and now you've right. learned from it and grown and moved on?
To me, I'd want to talk to her about it less again about like finding out if it's true or not, because like even if it is true, I don't think it's like such a huge deal. I think it's much more about like, well, how did this experience affect you? What did you think about the way you did it?
Like, but how does he bring it up?
I think you could bring it up.
How does he taste?
I think he brings it up.
How does he taste? You thought.
I think he brings it up in a very honest, non like aggressive way.
Yeah.
Of like non angry, non aggressive. I think the way to do it is to really tell exactly what happened. Say, hey, I have to say there's something like kind of like annoyingly on my mind, even though I don't necessarily know if I have a right to have it mm-hmm. on my mind, but I can't really help how I feel. So I was at my friend's house. I was mentioning you. Someone came up that they knew you and like said this thing about you. And like, you don't owe me an explanation for that at all. But like, I didn't want to like go like assuming anything. So I was just wondering like what actually happened there from your point of view. And again, if you don't want to talk about it, that's also totally
and
fine.
And leave it open-ended. I think that's a great way to put it, where
yeah.
you're like, yeah, I just want to hear what you like. I don't want to think that you like are this person being portrayed this
right.
way. I would advise, this was my thought, is to separate you wanting to have the exclusivity talk.
Oh, definitely.
From this conversation.
Right.
And that's the only thing I can tell this guy. Like, you know, he seems happy. He seems like he's having fun. To me, like, hey, this has been a lot of fun. Do you want to come hang out with me and my friends? But, you know,
yeah.
and then like now you've now the relationship has gone to a different level. Now you're on the like you're hanging out with my friends level. That's the relationship will go where it goes. That's a different conversation than, hey, also one of the friends that be there went to college with you.
So you think he shouldn't say anything?
I don't know what the order is.
I think
he should say something.
Saying something first, because no one wants to feel like they've been like set up.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, you're
they're
right.
just like throwing me into like the lion's yeah. den of people who like hate me, and I've been given.
Oh,
I've
here
been,
comes the slut.
I've been given. You know? I've been given no opportunity to tell like my side
yeah,
of the
yeah,
story.
Yeah, yeah. I bring it up first, but I think like separate the idea of like how much fun and how much you're enjoying this person from hearing this information
right.
as much as you can, because I don't think your experience has to be the other person's experience.
I agree with that.
I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness, but I recently came across Allo Moves and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick-me-up. And I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Allo Moves. From beginner to advanced, Allo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code UUP. allomoves.com, code UUP.
Let's do some more emails. You ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, J&J. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Hey, J&J. Love the podcast. You guys always have such great insight about things, so figured I'd give it a shot and message you about my current sitch. I've been with my boyfriend for almost a year. He has lived with two exes before, and it hasn't worked out.
That's a lot of exes to have.
That's a lot.
Moved in with.
Yeah. And one is, one you're like, all right, what happened
right,
there?
Right.
Two, you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know? He's 34. I'm 26. But we are both looking for something serious. He usually stays at my place, and I am always have been pretty OCD and a clean freak. And he's the opposite, quite messy. Because of his experience lived with other girls who he says were more like me, cleaner, he thinks if we were to move in together, it wouldn't work out. So I think he is on the fence about the whole relationship because of that. I understand where he is coming from. However, in my mind, if we really want to be together, I know I need to work on being less OCD because I can be a bit crazy about being clean and wonder if I'm living with any, if me living with any guy, not just him, wouldn't work out because I'm such a clean freak. And I think he needs to work on being a bit cleaner so we can meet in the middle. I know I can be a bit obsessive about being clean, but like I told him, he is more important to me than my things. So I'm willing to meet in the middle, and I will not be not so OCD if he can work on being a bit cleaner. OCD gets drowned right into this like self-diagnosis. Like, right. Is she actually?
I don't think this is real OCD.
This is like drunk chick OCD. Like that.
She's very, very neat, and she likes things to be a particular way. And she's
I just hate the self-diagnosis.
I mean, there are people with real OCD. Yeah. This is like not nice to the OCD community, but like that's
we get it.
But that's okay. Whatever.
What is your opinion? Do you think if you're really messy, you absolutely can't live with a cleaner person? Like it just wouldn't work out in the long run, or do you think if you both really want to be together, you can make it work and live happily together? Thanks for all the advice. What do you think?
I think for this guy, this is like an excuse to not move in with her.
Sounds like that to me. I kept thinking about, like, my girlfriend and I are talking about moving in. I own a place. Like, to be perfectly honest, I own a place that I'm in the process of trying to sell.
If anyone's interested.
If anyone's interested, please. Her lease is running up. I mean, right. And she said, well, what are we going to do? And I'm like, you know, I'm in a situation where I said, well, I don't want to tell her. I do want to take next steps with her. But me saying, well, sign the lease, I have to sell my place, sounds very cold and like I don't want to move in.
Okay, you're saying renew your lease because I'm still...
Well, my point is...
I haven't sold my place yet.
Renew your lease because or move to my place until I sell it, and then we can find a new place.
So you did say the second option, too.
The second option's on the table,
okay,
but she doesn't want to move to my place. So to me, I'm like the only other option is renew your lease, I'll keep trying to sell, or I'll find a renter, and... If those things happen, then we can reopen the conversation. I'm not going to pay to live in two places at once. That's
fair. Okay.
This is where we're at. And that started but I had to say that. I had to like let that be known because, and then, you know, that upset her. And I understand why that upset her. But to me, that's not, I'm not clean in the apartment. Right. You know, like to relate it to this email, I'm giving you a personal story that I'm trying to be as political with as possible because it becomes a touchy. I'm just saying any move-in subject becomes a touchy subject. this, my, I do think I have legs to stand on as I'm telling you this story right now.
I agree. I think you do as well.
Okay. So this guy has no legs to stand on.
Right.
So this, I'm relating this, it to like my situation.
Right. This OCD thing, or like this, you know, you're very clean thing.
Sure.
I think most guys kind of like when a girl is pretty clean.
Of course. Of course. It's how clean can you be?
Right.
That it's not, you know.
It seems like an excuse of
we
like.
We all watch Full House.
Right.
Danny, we'd all live with Danny Tanner. That guy's a clean freak.
Right. Well, what I would say to this guy, if he's, because she says that he says, she says.
To me, this guy's putting it off by referencing his two relationships that didn't work out. It's a scare tactic.
He says he thinks if we were to move in together, it wouldn't work out. Where else do you go then?
Yeah,
that's the only thing you needed to hear.
Mom and dad live in two different homes.
Right.
But they're great. They've been together 30 years. They have an apartment. Dad has an apartment. Mom has a house. They'll fuck, but then they at night go to their own separate homes. Like, that's not life.
Right. That's like the, for me, that's the whole answer there.
Yeah,
you're saying let's figure out a way to like, we'll both work on this. And no couple, I mean, every couple that, I mean, you haven't lived with just yet, but like every couple has like some slight cleaning, like discrepancy
of
issues.
Course.
That's like a
I am a disgusting, filthy pig.
Right. But like, that's not a reason. If you've ever had a roommate, that also happens there. Like there's not.
These are the things you talk out during. This isn't practical versus romantic.
Right.
You know, those are the two things that come into play with relationships. That's why it hurts to tell someone that my practical side of I'm not going to pay for two places to live hurts her romantic side of I'm ready to like be roommates.
But
you know,
you are ready to be roommates. She just has to.
I am. And it's but also for this guy, this isn't practical versus romantic.
Right. This to me seems like I think if I were her, what I would say to him is like, listen, like this seems kind of crazy. Like I told you, I'm willing to compromise on this like clean thing. Is this really, really about like the difference in cleanliness?
Yeah.
Because like to me, that just doesn't seem like that legitimate. And it seems like if you really did want to move in with me, that we would figure out a way to work this out.
So let's talk this out.
Right.
Yeah. And let's talk about it in practical terms. Yeah. When do you think we would move in if that was going to happen? Because she seems ready now.
Right. And you can say like, if it's about you not, if it's about you not being ready, that's okay. That's a different conversation.
Lie to each other.
Right. But this like whole thing about the cleaning thing is like, to me is setting off like a bullshit detector.
Yeah.
So I'd prefer to like talk about what's really going on for the sake of both of our time.
I'm with you. Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. Little red flag deal breaker.
Okay. No matter where you go for dinner, they always order chicken strips.
Ooh. This is tough because it's like, it's not about like what you're eating, because I can order what I get.
Mm-hmm.
You get the chicken strips. I get...
You're saying it's about an adventurous person?
Yeah, it's like, what do you, like, I feel like I knew someone like this, or I knew someone's parents that were like this, where like the parent, like I watched the parents dynamic, and it seems so fucking boring. Like, you know, like I remember.
Dad only does this.
And I was like, can you guys talk to dad?
Okay.
And then they were like, well, no, this is what he does. Like, he gets the soup and half a sandwich. And I was like, man, you guys, like, I just remember like growing up.
See, to me, this just screams stability.
Stability.
So hot.
This is like, I mean, this could tell you a lot about my issues with food. Where like growing up, like the family that would have cereal for dinner depressed me so much.
Oh, well that's a different story. That's
cereal
like,
for dinner. Yeah. I'd be like, your family lives in a dimly lit house where no one smiles and all you hear is the spoon against the milk.
The Freeds grew up with a large disdain for poverty.
Hated the poor. No, it wasn't about poverty. It was more just like, if you had the means to have a dinner, why the fuck are you having cereal?
Right.
And it's like, do you guys hate each other? Do you not like talking about what was good, what was bad? so many of conversations are opened up via food that this person who does chicken strips at every dinner has cut us off at the knees of having a life together that has differentiation and discussion.
So it's a deal breaker for you.
Deal breaker.
For me, it's just a red flag. Wow. I have to say something in your whole conversation there. I was like, this guy doesn't need the new sexy food of the week. I don't have to worry about him seeing a girl on the street.
So like what younger are you talking about? Like panko versus regular fried? That's what you talk about? Younger, like these are good chicken strips.
Younger and hotter than me. This guy likes a nice stable. He likes to stick with what he knows is good for him. Like me. I'm okay with it.
Wow. This is... It's funny the two places it brought us to.
Right?
Two very... specific but like, different places.
I can count. This guy is reliable.
And I'm thinking, what the fuck am I going to talk to this woman about? Let's do another.
All right. They only pee sitting down, or if it's a girl, she stands up.
Do women stand up and pee? Can you do it?
I think she can squat.
How about so she only squats even in the house?
Yeah.
And he only pees sitting down. To me,
is this a thing that some guys do?
I'll take a break from, you know, the hardships of life to have a sit and pee.
Okay, because this girl who wrote in, she said, I have a friend who dated a guy and she walked in on him going to the bathroom and he was peeing sitting down. He claims he has peed sitting down his entire life because it is less messy.
That's a weird reason. like what does he do with a baseball game? Like, to me, sometimes people do that, like you pee sitting down so you don't have to be next to someone at a urinal.
Okay.
Which is like a whole nother Pandora's box of emotional issues.
Right.
It is a weird sight. I can understand like walking in on the guy sitting down peeing. It just doesn't look very attractive.
Right. It's not like a very like manly look.
Yeah, I can understand that. I've peed sitting down. Like, I'm not above that. I'm also not preferring that. Like the more personalized one was that if he pees all over the seat and doesn't clean it up. That would be...
That's like a better one almost.
That's a better one than this one. Because the pee sitting down guy is kind of ridiculous to me. Like, I just... To have the proclivity... Like, to have the preference is like... I mean, I've done it when I've hung over. I'm just like, oh, God.
I think it's kind of like if it's kind of your preference and you know it's weird, but like you kind of like it, fine.
Okay.
But you kind of have to admit that like, this is love? What?
What if they pee all over the seat? Red flag, deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker. Yeah, that's very annoying. That's like gross. I mean, we live with someone who's just peeing all over the seat. Who's cleaning that up then?
I will pee on the seat by accident. Like, no one pees on the seat on purpose.
You're going to clean it, though.
And then I clean it up.
Right.
But
that's fine.
I can understand that, like, sometimes my cleanup ain't so great. What if it's a trickle?
If it's every time or if it's, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's every time.
Every time. It's like every time I go in the bathroom, there's urine all over the seat. I'm like, I don't want to live in the jungle. Like,
what if one time he forgot to flush a huge dump?
One time? It's fine.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
That has happened to me. Holy shit.
That's an axe. You know, you're a little out of it. Whatever.
Sometimes I'll walk out of a place.
Every time. It's like, this is all like a one time versus every time.
It's intent versus, this is intent. Like an intent question. So like this guy intends to sit down every time he pees. That to me is like, what else is happening here?
Right. To me, it might be like indicative of some other like issue.
Yeah,
like
I would think
psychoanalytic.
That too. I mean, they used to have at the baseball games at sporting events, they would have the troughs.
What's that?
You know, like a pig trough.
Like a long line.
Then you could just pee in that.
I feel like I saw that at like the Colosseum in Rome.
Yeah, well, that's how men used to go to that's how they used to do the public bathrooms. And it was actually better because more people could fit. But as a young kid, I would go to games with my dad all the time. You'd be this little young kid just peeing like
penis out
face to face with a, you know, an anaconda.
Oh, it's the other way.
No, it's just like not the other way. You wouldn't be facing each other, but you're like when you're now they have the little kid, you know, like a shorter. The problem with the trough is like you're shoulder to shoulder.
It's interesting to be a man and grow up with like no anxiety about your penis being seen by other people.
Some people do. That's why they put up the barriers.
Right.
Some urinals have the barriers next to them, which I use as a armrest. I'll put my arms on both sides and kind of chill out for a second.
Hang your coat up.
Put my coat up. This is me time. But you know, I think, yeah, the whole nakedness with men, like, I remember, like, they would have, like, you know, you have shower rooms. You ever, like, take a shower in, like, a big shower area?
Yeah, I feel like most women's rooms are, like, much more private than the male counterparts. I haven't seen many showers that are just, like, open showers.
I've been in the... Growing up, I used to... You know, you take a shower in an open shower house.
Right.
But then...
Maybe there
they start putting up curtains and stuff. You know what?
I feel like there should be more of that for women's rooms, too, because I think it would make us all more proud of our bodies.
Oh, really?
I think maybe men have much less shame about, like, their bodies or not their bodies not being perfect. And I think for us, it's like there's so much in place to, like, allow you to hide it that I think if I grew up in locker rooms where everyone was naked, I'd be like, okay, like, this is me.
Yeah, it was this weird thing. This weird thing growing up of, like, you're a man if you... You're less of a man if you cared.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Crazy. Like, for us, it's like, oh, like, it's almost like, wow, she's like, if you saw her,
look at that Amazonian.
Right. For me, it's like, if I'm ever in a gym locker room and I see, like, a naked woman, I'm like,
good for you.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's
going for it.
You're really going for it. But it's not like most women are not doing that.
Yeah.
There are some, but, like, I'm always, like, kind of like, oh, that's like, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm a locker room naked guy. I take the I do the towel over the shoulder.
Okay.
And I waltz my way to the showers.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, why not? Okay. Let's do one more.
All right. I have a red flag or deal breaker question. I was on Hinge the other day and someone wrote in their bio that they have a 150-pound weight limit.
That's a deal breaker. that's ridiculous.
That to me is crazy.
What if they had a weight minimum? Like they're like no, I like curvy women. Like, would that be as offensive?
I feel like it would be less offensive, but it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. They shouldn't both be offensive.
Yeah.
Any looks related... The thing is about looks related preferences...
Yeah.
...is you keep them to your fucking self.
You keep them to your... It's okay to have them. You're allowed to internally preference whatever you want.
That's what the, like, but that's also what the like is. That's what, right. That's what,
yeah,
the swipe
that's
is.
What that's to show what that is. Like, yeah. What do you like?
The more you say, the more you're like putting the blame on the other person for their looks.
Right. I mean,
like going into like, I mean, this is a subject that's been had before, but like putting in no guys below 5'5".
Yeah, that's also.
To me, that's
right.
The same
just
thing.
Just don't
like,
swipe right on the guys that you. They're
well, then
too
they would
short
go. Well,
you.
In their pictures, they look taller than they are. Well, that's your problem.
Right, that's a risk you're just going to have to take.
Yeah, that's called life is uncomfortable. Deal with it. Yeah,
right.
This is a deal breaker. If a girl said, no guy under 5'5" apply," I would look at them. I'd fuck them.
Well, just
but
the
I
fact
wouldn't
that
want to date them.
Just the fact that they would like say it is like
it's obnoxious.
Yeah,
it's obnoxious.
Right. Again,
I'm above 5'5", and if a girl said no guys under 5'5", I would look at her a certain way.
Yeah, so I'm saying I'm below 155, but I wouldn't like want to date. For me, it would be like I'd almost be happy that the guy wrote that because I'd be like, okay, great, now I can like not
never speak to him.
Right.
Yeah.
It's almost like the people who are so out there like that, saying like that kind of thing, who are like, oh, well, like, I just want to make sure that I don't see any girls or whatever. I'm like, okay, like. Great. Now, like, I know that you're that kind of person and I can, like, that you must go to this length of, like, offending people to do that. Then, like, now sure. I can eliminate you, too.
Here's his response. Let's say this is his response. The guy who has, they have a weight, 155 weight limit. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a joke. This is because I think that might be his response. And my response to him was, you're not good at jokes.
Right. That's not, like, that's worse because it's
funny.
Not funny.
Well, this is, yeah. this screams to me, like, it's harder for me to believe that he's, like, actually working on a 155-pound weight limit.
Right.
And it's easier for me to believe that he's the type of guy that goes, people get so offended. And it's like, no, you made a bad joke.
Right.
It didn't work. You're offensive. Just because people get offended doesn't mean that offensive doesn't exist.
Those are the worst people because they... Yeah. Because here's why they're the worst. Because sometimes a joke is offensive and it's really funny.
Sure.
And this is...
This isn't even a joke.
And those people, I do feel bad because like you're not allowed to laugh because it's like offensive, but it's really funny. This joke is offensive and not funny.
Yes.
So it's like it's so much worse for those people who are making the really funny offensive jokes. You
totally
know, like
agree.
The Dave Chappelle's of the world.
Totally. I mean, I mean, I there's it's you hear these people all the time.
Right. They think they're on the same level of complaining about like the PC culture like a Dave Chappelle. And it's like, no, he's funny and offensive.
Sure.
You're not funny and offensive.
Absolutely. It's the gray that we all just subtly ignore. And that's why this podcast is here. Every Wednesday, keep telling your friends, keep telling your coworkers, your brothers, your sisters, your mamas, your papas. I'm Jared Fried.
I'm Jordana Abraham. Oh, and these podcasts are now going to come out at midnight on Wednesday, so you can listen on your morning commute on Wednesday if you would like as well.
Is it midnight Wednesday or midnight Tuesday?
It's midnight Tuesday night.
Okay.
So Wednesday, the very beginning of the actual 24-hour day.
So they're waiting for you Wednesday morning when you wake up.
Yes, they'll be there.
When you rise, you little Kepi, and the birds tweet, tweet, tweet. Papa JT and Jordana are there waiting.
All right. Bye.
Betches.